Hello, my friends. I'm Kira Misi, and this is my podcast, Finding Rainbows on an Ordinary Day, where we dive into the ordinary, looking for the extraordinary. Because, well, life is hard, but if you look close enough, you will find the rainbows. Let's get started. Hello, my friends, and welcome back to Finding Rainbows on an Ordinary Day. Today is an amazing day here on the Rainbow. Why? Because we don't take ourselves too seriously around here. Life is too much fun to do that. And the funniest guy on the internet is here today to poke fun at influencers, the rich and think they're famous, and everyone in between, all in good fun, of course. It's Walker Ward. That's right. He is here on the Rainbow, aka on Instagram, WalkSauce42. He's racked up over 500,000 followers across social media platforms with his hilarious impressions of everyday people doing their everyday things. His Get Ready With Me's, that's GRWMs, have been shared across the internet by the thousands, and his ever-growing arsenal of characters continues to captivate us all. Maybe, hopefully, my personal favorite character of Chad will make a cameo on today's interview. Who is Walker Ward, and why are we so fascinated with all his funny? Well, let's go and meet him. Well, hello, my friends, and welcome back to Finding Rainbows on an Ordinary Day. I am so excited because the funniest guy on the internet, well, we landed him on the rainbow. I don't even know how we did it. I'm so, so excited. Who is he? What's he all about? Well, let's get party started. And without further ado, let me introduce you to Instagram's WalkSauce42. That's the funniest guy on the internet, Walker Ward. Welcome to the rainbow.
Let's go. Thank you so much, Kira. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, for someone who maybe has not discovered you yet, I mean, they must be living under a rock. The first video that was sent to me was from a friend of your funny Get Ready With Me's, which is so popular.
Yes.
Where you were poking fun at influencers, and I loved it so much. It was all in great fun, and you have so many different characters that you do. So,
yes,
sort of a big question to start, but how did it begin, starting with the characters? Like, maybe who was your first character that you were like, this is just funny, this is just who I am?
Yeah, no. And like I said just a second ago, thank you so much for having me, Kira. I'm so excited to be here. So the long story short for this particular question is the following. I mean, I moved to New York City in 2018 and took a job on Wall Street that I had for about 5.5 years. And I moved there. I wasn't like passionate about that kind of thing, but the job kind of fell into my lap, and I was able to move to a great city, and I wanted to experience that lifestyle. So one thing led to another. We did that. Last summer, I kind of was like, all right, I'm not really getting fulfilled with my day-to-day work. This isn't, I have always been, and I don't think I really realized this until I started this journey, but I've always been pretty creative. And in different ways, fine art. I did a lot of fine art in college and high school and that kind of thing. But long story short, I was like, I'm just not really getting the creative juices flowing, sitting at this desk, calling people about the stock market and that kind of thing. So I needed to make a change.
Yeah.
And I was like, look, I want to entertain. My end goal would be to be on television and film. I want to be accepting an Oscar one day, or an Emmy, or D, all of the above, for my work in some, you know, kind of fun production. And I was like, rather than jumping into some other financial sales role, I need to just go for it. I'm 29. I'm not married. I don't have kids. While I still have the flexibility to kind of carve my own path without having to provide for other people, let's just go for it. So, very long answer, bringing it full circle. My first character was the Wall Street intern last summer, who appeared in kind of late June, and he was just sort of the classic. He's similar to Chad, but he's not quite as polished, well-traveled as Chad. Chad's more in the country club scene and actually kind of gets into the parties and that kind of thing. The Wall Street intern is like this kind of, you know, he's basically this kid. He's an intern. He finally is in New York. He's finally not at his parents' house over the summer anymore. He's got a little bit of disposable income, and he's, you know, waiting in line at these venues in the Hamptons around New York City, just kind of being a menace. So that's kind of, that's who the first character was.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, oh my God, I love each and every, they each speak to me in a different way. So, and this, this is why. Let's start with an origin story. We kind of just touched on school, growing up. Yeah. Da, da, da. So where did you grow up?
Yeah. So I'm from, I was born in Manhattan, but I grew up in Princeton, New Jersey. So I lived here. I grew up here my whole life. I'm actually chatting to you right now from my childhood bedroom. I'm very fortunate that my parents still have the home that my siblings and I all grew up in. I remember one day I was home over my, I think it was my junior year of college. It was like the summer of 2015. And I came home one day and there was randomly a for sale sign, like, you know, hammered into the ground out front of our house. And I was like, my brother was in the car and we both like freaked out because nothing had been run past us, you know, that my parents were thinking about selling the house. So we ripped the sign out of the ground, threw it onto the front lawn, went inside and like kind of were really upset. And our parents were like, yeah, well, we were just thinking about, you know, doing something new. We were like, absolutely not. So whereas my parents love the house, I'm taking the call from my childhood bedroom. I grew up in Princeton. I went to Princeton Day School for 13 years, kindergarten all the way through 12th grade. And then after that, I took my talents to Hobart College. Okay. The Harvard of the Finger Lakes, I'm sure as you know it. Where I had a brief stint playing ice hockey, which was a lot of fun. And then I got cut from the hockey team my sophomore year. And that was when I kind of started to tap into like the theater world and acting, and because I had so much more free time and I wanted to kind of do some fun stuff like that. So does that help? Does that give more of a background?
Well, yes. I mean, it totally makes sense to me. And first off, because I grew up 45 minutes from Princeton.
Nice.
So very, very much aware of Princeton, Princeton Day School. I'm wondering if maybe that's where Chad or Palm Beach Dad characters came from.
For sure. For sure.
For sure. Yep. Kind of influenced in that way. Awesome. And shout out to New Jersey. We love New Jersey.
The Garden State. Let's
right.
go.
And then I also was a stint at college and then went to New York City. So I love your story. I love your story. So, all right. So you grew up in Princeton, went to Princeton Day School, then went to college, finished at college or soon left to New York City.
Yeah. So I graduated in 2016. I was a double major in English and Spanish with a minor in theater. And I didn't know, you know, obviously a lot of kids don't, but I didn't really know what I wanted to do. So I took the summer. I worked at a restaurant on Nantucket, which was a lot of fun. I grew up going to Nantucket, which really, we can get into it later, but that was kind of the impetus for Chad, Palm Beach Dad, et cetera. But worked on a restaurant on Nantucket. And then I went back up to Geneva, New York, where Hobart is for the year. And I coached hockey in town there. And then I also, I started an illegal driving service, basically. The only reason I say illegal is because we didn't have like real insurance, but I started this, it was basically like an Uber clone called Walker's Wheels. And it was, you know, at that time, Uber was around and ride sharing was definitely a thing, but it was only in, you know, densely populated metropolitan areas. So if you were, I experienced it firsthand, but if you were a student at any kind of rural campus anywhere in the U.S., but for all intents and purposes, we'll say the Northeast, a Middlebury, a Bowdoin, a Hobart, you know, anywhere kind of like that, St. Lawrence, you know, up in the middle of nowhere in upstate New York near Canada, you go out, you know, you go out in the wintertime to parties, you walk down to the bars and stuff, and then bars close at 1 or 2 in the morning, and then there's no way to get home except for walking and it's freezing cold or Walker's Wheels. And then there's sometimes this, you know, you have like some kind of generic campus shuttle that's always 30 minutes late and not dependable. So I was like, you know what? There's a gap in the market. I'm going to fill it. This is a fun adventure for me. So I had some friends in the computer science department build an app for it. And you logged in. This was like a fully legit. Like I went through the school with this. You logged in with your student ID and password, and you could charge your rides rather than putting it on like a credit card or something to your student account.
Nice.
So it was basically students driving students, It was cool. It was a really cool experience. But so, again, another long answer to your question.
No, we'll bring I love
full,
this.
Full circle. That's what I worked on for like close to a year outside of college, still living up there in nearby Hobart.
Yeah.
So that kind of brings us to fall of 2017. I got a phone call from the president of Trinity College in Hartford, Connecticut, a woman named Joan Berger Sweeney. That is her name. Anybody listening to this, you can Google it. This is legit. And she called me and wanted that, you know, because Hartford, where Trinity is, you know, it's in the middle of the city, and some of the areas around it are a little bit sketchy. There's some crime and that kind of thing. And they had just bought a little satellite campus, I think for the arts department, but I don't know for what specifically, probably a mile away.
Okay.
And they were trying to figure out how to shuttle students to and fro said campus safely. And a buddy of mine who was the president of one of the fraternities there had a lunch with her and basically pitched her on Walker's Wheels, which had evolved into Scoop U, like capital U, kind of like a university Uber ride sharing. And anyway, so she was interested and wanted to learn more. And so I get this call unprepared. And then I'm like, okay, this is kind of getting a little bit, it's growing faster than I can handle it. It's kind of a fun little thing up here in Geneva, New York. Our slogan's 100, we're 100 smiles to the gallon. And it was just a fun little thing. And then because it kind of grew too big, I decided to shut it down. And then I worked at a winery for about 6 months up in the Finger Lakes. And then that was when I was working there. I got a phone call in like May of 2018 from a family for whom I used to babysit in Princeton. Okay. And the dad was the head of sales at this company in New York at the time.
Okay.
And he called me and was saying they were looking to hire a junior on the sales desk. You know, no real experience needed, just kind of someone who was eager to learn and kind of show up and be present and do a good job. And one thing led to another. I took the job in New York, I think it was Monday, July 9th, 2018. So 2 years, basically, between graduating 2016 May and then moving to New York, July of 2018. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I love. OK. Throughout this entire journey that you've been on so far, what I love so much is how, well, there was one moment when you said, you know, and I didn't quite know what I wanted to do after college and like who does sometimes, you know, da-da. But I like that you were like, so I'll just try things. And
yeah. Oh, and big then, time.
And that's what I loved about it, that there wasn't this, I say this like all the time on the rainbow, you don't know till you go. So just try it. Yeah. And if it doesn't work, I always say there is no fail. Fail is redirection in the right direction. So you're like, well, let me try this.
Agreed.
Yeah. So I absolutely love that about you. Listeners, pay attention to that. So important is to just try the things, you know, try the things and then see where it moves on to this and this. Because in each and every one of those things that you said, I see all the characters that you've done on that you've met so many people that you have, like I said, you know, you poke fun at influencers, the rich and think they're famous, and everyone in between. And I love that. And I've met tons of these people that you, you know, we all see somebody in that where we're like, oh my God. Yeah. I've seen that person at the country club. And so that, well, that's absolutely amazing. So you're in New York and you're feeling like, okay, wait, you know, I did minor in theater. I do have this creative bug about me. I'm just not sure what to do with it. So not too soon after, you just started thinking like, I'm going to post some things. Was it on Instagram, on TikTok?
Yeah, Instagram was the first, you know, vehicle through which I kind of started to express some creativity. TikTok, I don't know when, I don't remember exactly when TikTok started, but I remember TikTok really blowing up right when COVID started, like March of 2020. Yeah. It probably came around maybe like fall 2019, but March of 2020 was when I made a TikTok. I wasn't really posting on it, but I started my job, and you know, for the first 6 months of that job, I was commuting from Princeton, and it was one of those sort of it was a sell side job on Wall Street. So like my job was basically to get in really early every morning and call clients and explain whatever research our analysts were coming out with that day, and maybe that would help them make some educated investment decisions, whatever. So one of the traits of the job, though, was you had to be in really early. So I was on the 5 a.m. train every morning for like 6 months commuting in. But then the nice thing about that is the day ended early. You know, the stock market closed around or at 4 o'clock Eastern. So I'd get to leave around 4:30. So it wasn't like I was working the crazy late hours, like some investment bankers and those kind of people and jobs have to do. But so that's how it started. And then after like 6 months, I was kind of like, all right, this commute is tough. And it was funny because, like, you know, when you commute, no matter what your commute is, but for me, it was on a train and then getting on the subway and getting to the office. You start to recognize and see the same faces and the same people on their commute every day. And you know, you're all kind of in that same rhythm. And I would be on the train sitting next. I remember this guy sat next to me every single day on the train, basically. And he was probably like 65 or 70. And, you know, you could just tell he'd been doing that for like 40 years or whatever. And I was just like, all right, more power to you, man. But like, I got to move to New York. So I got an apartment and I got my apartment in February of 2019. Okay. But it was fun, though, because I was kind of like the culture guy at work. That was one of my main roles. Shocker. and so one of my coworkers, but who became a good friend of mine, he had an apartment with a buddy of his down in the West Village. Our office was in Midtown. And we kind of got into this rhythm where I would like crash at his place kind of like Thursday night through Sunday. Mm-hmm. So that really relieved a bit of commute work stress. Cause like, it was just kind of like, all right, it's Monday morning. I just got to get to Thursday morning. And then once I'm in the city, I'm there for the weekend, which is really nice. But And then lastly, I guess, back to the creative piece, I didn't really start doing true content on social media, on Instagram, until COVID, March 2020.
Okay.
That was when I did start doing, like, I had my Nature Walks with Walker show, where I, on Instagram, I bought a raft on Amazon, like a blow-up raft, sailed it down this, I'm looking out my window, sailed it down this brook that goes through our backyard for like a mile or so. And then I was stranded in the woods for like basically 3 weeks, not literally.
Right.
But people didn't realize that like I was just filming in my backyard. And, you know, this was when nobody had anything else to do other than watch stuff on the internet because, you know, whatever. But I don't say, this is the last thing I'll say, and then I'll obviously turn it back to you. But
no,
okay. But I, to answer your question earlier, who was my first character and all that kind of stuff? The Wall Street Intern was my first character in the era. You know, I'm like Taylor Swift, basically, in my era.
We all are at this point.
Exactly. We're all Taylor. In my full-time era is what I'll call it. In doing it full-time, the Wall Street Intern was my first character. However, March 2020, when COVID started, I had all this time, like many other people did, where I was kind of like, oh, you know, it's 11 a.m. Right around now, I should be looking busy in the office, but I'm out here at my parents' house in New Jersey. The world's kind of falling apart. Let's do some fun things. So that was the initial impetus for content. So I did my Nature Walks with Walker show for like 2 months. Then I had a little news show that I did. And then my parents were like, okay, you guys, we're packing up the car. We don't really know what's happening with this whole COVID thing. Not in like a dramatic doomsday way, but they were like, we're going to drive out to Idaho because we grew up going to Idaho. We're going to drive out there and kind of spend a majority of the summer there. Just kind of less foot traffic, less people, nice weather, that kind of thing.
So fun.
And that's where Hot Dog Boy came from. I don't know if you are aware of Hot Dog Boy. That was how Hot Dog Boy came to be, was that 3-day road trip. Every single time we stopped, I would have one of my siblings, of whom there are two. It's three of us. I'm the oldest, and I have twin younger siblings who are 3 years younger than me. But one of them would like film me reviewing a hot dog. Just kind of, I was like, I'm driving across the country. Who knows when the next time this is going to happen is. I've got this little content bug. I have to. It would be it'd be detrimental to my mental health to not to have the regrets of not doing anything in the middle of nowhere in Nebraska. So,
yes.
Yeah. So that was when it all kind of started, the content.
Yeah.
But I couldn't, I had to balance, you know, I couldn't just have be filming stuff every single day and having videos going viral and like blowing up on the internet, relatively speaking. And then, because my boss is going to be like, dude, like, are you even working? Like, what are you doing? So I wasn't able, I had to walk sort of a fine line of producing enough content where like I was being fulfilled from a creative perspective and having fun. Because one of my favorite, the two favorite things for me about making content are one, there's the creative piece, which I love, and being able to think and come up with characters and act and do stuff like that. But then also I love interacting with and sort of doing it not for people, I'm doing it for myself, but seeing how people receive it and providing it for people. And like, you know, when people will, you know, send me DMs, like, you know, you sort of, I'm having a tough time, this kind of made my day, or like, you know, it's kind of, it's really rewarding and it makes me feel really nice. But yeah. So anyway, that was a very, very long answer.
No, that's amazing. And your observation of people is always just spot on. Like even when you were talking, I'm surprised there's, or maybe there is a character and I've missed it that you've done of the man that you saw on the subway that you said was like 65, 70 years old.
Yeah.
Grinding after all this time. But yeah, your observation of people, or recently, of course, the Masters was on. So I was like, I know Walker has got some commentation on this. So I was totally looking at your Instagram this past week and you taking screenshots of randos in the in the crowd.
Oh yes.
And giving them and giving them an entire bio. I was like, that's hilarious. Cause I think we all do that in a way. There are things that we see and we're like, oh my, you know, you come up with nicknames for, you know, your barista at the coffee shop.
Yeah, totally.
You have a whole story running about people. And I love that you're, you know, you're producing it and putting it out there. It is just, it's amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, for sure. That was fun. That was, something I, and sorry, this is rocket science, but one of the best ways, more from a technical approach when it comes to social media and engagement and wanting your videos to be seen by as many people as possible, you know, whenever something like the Masters or the Kentucky Derby coming up or like the Super Bowl, whatever, you know, whenever you have something like that going on, it's just a really good opportunity for content creators to take advantage of, because you can then tie in whatever you're doing with that kind of anchor tenant, you know, for lack of a better term, on the internet that other people will be searching for in general. And then that's just such a good opportunity for exposure. So, not like, you know, so that was just, I just did 4 days of Masters last week. I did Palm Beach Dad going to the Masters. I did Chad going to the Masters. I did Pookie and Jet at the Masters.
And that was amazing.
I get ready with me for the Masters, which was a lot of fun. Yes.
Yeah, I was telling I have an 11-year-old son as well. And I was telling him this morning how you were saying, I don't remember the exact quote, but Chad was at the Masters and he was like, Dad, like I need $5,000 for what? What?
For merch.
I was like,
Dad.
Yes. Oh, I was dying. I was like,
once in a lifetime opportunity. What do you mean you're not going to wire me $5,000 for my bucket hat and my quarter zip and my shorts?
It's true. I almost wore my Master's hat today just for that moment because I was like, I remember my husband getting it for me like years ago and he was like, here, take care of this. It was like $300. Here's your pink baseball hat. How lovely.
No, but honey, it's about the lore. It came from Augusta. You're paying for.
It did. I wish it had come home with a pimento cheese sandwich, but it didn't. So I'm still holding on to that. All right.
That's
so
awesome.
The get ready with me's are, you know, some of my absolute favorite. The fact that, well, you know, if you don't know what a GRWN, everyone is, get ready with me. A lot of people are, you know, oh, get ready with me. And they're putting on their makeup and all the thing. But what Walker's doing is at the same time chatting like an influencer would do. He's putting chocolate sauce in his face, whipped cream, and acting like it's the most beautiful, you know, product from Gucci. And it makes me laugh.
The new hot thing. The new hot commodity.
Like if the next time you take a broom and you put it to your curls and.
Yeah, exactly.
And also now, does your Get Ready With Me girl have a name? I know she's pregnant right now.
So that's a good question. And this is kind of tying it back to what we were saying earlier, kind of one of the morals of the story, I guess, about in life in general, just kind of going for it, just doing it sometimes, not all the time. This is not, you know, this is not all the case all the time, but a lot of the time, just getting out there and doing it and making it happen is so much more important than sitting back and just trying to calculate and premeditate. And then sometimes you might miss the train or the opportunity that you would have seized if you had just gone for it. Obviously, don't just go run off a cliff without packing a parachute kind of thing, but we're on the same page. So yeah. With the Get Ready With Me's, I just one morning in like late January, I was just like, I think I was watching a video and some kind of Get Ready With Me popped up. And I was like, all right, I have to do just like something here for fun. Like there's gotta be something here. So I just, yeah. I did the first video where there was no food involved. I basically just took bathroom products, like I think toothpaste, deodorant, toothbrush, just like the basics and went through it. But like a lot of the humor I think was in the story too. Obviously visually, yes, it's funny, like brushing your eyebrows with a toothbrush, but like some of the stuff that these people on usually TikTok, but online are talking about, the stories are pretty funny. Because, you know, but anyway, so the Get Ready With Me saga up until the pregnancy character, the pregnant girl.
Yes, which everyone watch right now. It's a whole thing.
Yeah, it's a series.
The Get Ready With Me pregnant girl, a.k.a.
We're
Walker.
With child.
With child. And yeah. They just told their parents. And yeah. It's the whole
did not go very
saga.
Well. I just had my 1 month checkup and there's an update coming. Baby's healthy. Mom's healthy. But no, so basically the Get Ready With Me character is not just one person. It is a woman. In my mind, it's a woman. I could appreciate why visually people are like, what? No, but like it's a woman in my mind. So yes. She it's just kind of an ambiguous Get Ready basic. With Me person. Exactly. Kind
she's
of.
She's a basic iced coffee to me with
exactly.
Like two Splenda.
Yeah. And three pumps of caramel.
Exactly.
And she basically, it's not the same person every time. So for example, if I did a Get Ready With Me to go run errands for my mom, that's a girl who's probably like 12 or no, she has several licenses. She's probably like 17
yeah.
And she's just like pissed that her mom's making her go run errands for her. Then there's a Get Ready With Me for date night girl. That yes. Girl's more like 25 in New York.
Yes.
So it's more, it's not the same person every time. It's just kind of a generic, more of the idea than the actual character, I guess. However,
yes.
The pregnancy girl,
yeah.
I did the video. The first video of Get Ready With Me to tell my boyfriend that I'm pregnant, I think was the first one. And that one I assumed was just another one in the line of here's another ambiguous Get Ready With Me. That's just a kind of funny scenario, especially because I am a 30-year-old man with like a beard. I don't look like someone who would likely be pregnant. And
it all gels.
Exactly. And then when I put that one out, I got, again, relatively speaking, it's not like I'm Selena Gomez or something over here, but a ton of DMs of people being like, basically verbatim, copy and paste in every single DM, I am so invested in this pregnancy, need updates. It was
exactly.
The moral of like each DM that I got, high level. So I was like, okay, this person needs to be a recurring character.
Yes.
So the pregnancy girl is the same person and she is updating. And it started with telling her boyfriend, and then it started with, I think it was Get Ready With Me. Like she found out she was pregnant and then she told her boyfriend. There was the boyfriend's reaction. Then there was the getting ready with me to go tell my parents.
Yeah.
So we have four episodes as of now, and I'm kind of playing with the idea. I wasn't sure if I should like expedite the pregnancy and like bottle everything up into like a 1 month thing and then it's kind of done. But I think I'm going to ride this out for 9 months.
Yeah.
Like until December. Yeah. And the baby's going to, there's going to be a baby like in December. I haven't thought that far, but I think that would be funny. I do. So, and I do have to come up with a consistent, just when it comes to like character work. One of the big differences between the pregnancy girl and anyone else is she has the nails.
Yeah.
Like the nails. So like that's like, I screwed up. I made one video when I was in Florida and I didn't have the nail things that I use. I even know what they are. People have commented and they know what they are. That's some kind of tape that my mom had in her office downstairs. But that's the constant. So that is like a little subtle clue to like, okay, it's the same girl.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Notice that. Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, the pregnancy, or excuse me, the Get Ready With Me videos, it's more just the idea of the GRWM.
Yes.
And it's a different person, kind of ambiguous person story every time, except for the pregnant girl.
Yeah, yeah. And they are so funny. I love especially since I have a teenager. I just thought it was, yes. He's a boy though. And sweet as pumpkin pie. So I wouldn't say he ever gave me that much attitude, but I'm a girl. And so I thought it was hilarious when the girl, the girl would wake up and be like, oh my God, my mom just woke up and she hasn't even brought me my Starbucks yet.
Exactly. And she's not giving me money for Starbucks. And like, what the hell? And like my big sister has to drive me because I don't have my license yet. And she's going to make me pay for her coffee. Yeah. Like, what the hell?
Yeah. Just brought me back to teenage years when you're just annoyed and you don't even know why. You're like, oh my God, my mom tried to make me eat breakfast.
No, you're just annoyed. So annoying. Like I remember in Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, there's a scene where Harry Potter keeps like freaking out at Ron. And he's like, I'm just angry. The time, and like that's basically this teenage kid. I will watch videos on TikTok. I will search, like, especially in the beginning. Now I kind of have it down to a little bit more of a science for my own process, so like I will make videos on my own now without getting inspo sometimes from other things.
Yeah,
but like I would just type in like GRWM on TikTok and just watch what comes up and scroll through and get inspiration. And I don't know. I just try to be kind of like a sponge and pick up on like mannerisms and voice inflections and delivery and the way, the other thing is it's not always a kid. Like some of them, it is a kid. I am making fun of the kid a little bit. I'm making fun more of the idea.
Oh yeah.
But
it's all in good fun.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But some of these, though, there are a lot of people my age. I just turned 30 like 2 months ago. I'm still processing not being in my 20s anymore.
Happy
but like
birthday.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
When's your birthday? December.
February 22nd.
February 22nd. Okay.
2/22.
Nice.
But yeah, anyway. The last thing I'll say about the Get Ready With Me piece here is just that there are a lot of people, I mean, full-on adults, older than I am, my age, and slightly younger in their 20s, who, are very, very into their Get Ready With Me's. And I genuinely don't think that it's stupid, because sometimes I do. But a lot of these people really like they're into, like, their makeup and like their look, and I respect that. But sometimes, like, no one really cares.
Right. Well, I know that's what's so funny. I know that is what's so funny about it. Or like someone was making fun of the fact that everyone's getting so starting in their, like, instead of like Get Ready With Me, not here's my makeup, and now the next shot you see me, in my dress, everyone's starting in their underwear and going up.
Yeah.
And that sort of trend that has gone on, that's hilarious. I don't remember who was saying that, but I was like, yeah, no, it is kind of funny. Like, I'm like, wait, I'll be following like my favorite influencer, Love Her Fashion, something like that. And I'm like, are you in your thong and then putting your dress on? Like, I don't know. Was 100%. I supposed to see that?
You'll scroll through. I mean, I'll be sometimes like sitting on, it's funny how obviously Instagram and TikTok and these algorithms, they're smart and they learn what you like and then they feed you similar stuff. So up prior to January, my feeds were very kind of status quo for a 29-year-old guy. And then once I started doing these Get Ready With Me's in January, and what I mean by that is, like, I'm getting, like, I don't know, sports stuff. I'm getting, like, you know, I love, like, looking at, like, luxury real estate and stuff online, like a cool house, like, somewhere beautiful. Like, I would get fed that kind of thing.
Is that something you'd like to do? I could see you being getting into real estate.
Oh, yeah. Well, I actually had my real estate. I worked for a company called Cushion & Wakefield. I was in commercial real estate for like a year.
All right. I knew it.
there was that. And we do have a real estate character, a realtor character coming, who I was actually working on this morning. But you heard that here, folks. Nowhere else.
He's coming. He might send you something.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway.
Rainbow's exclusive.
And then January hit and I started doing these Get Ready With Me's. And I just start being fed all of these like makeup products and like girls doing their makeup. But then where I'm going with this, back to what you were saying here, you know, like women in their underwear and like starting basically very bare. Like I started getting a ton of that and I'd be like sitting on the couch with my girlfriend, like in New York, you know, like on my phone. And it's just like every new video is like some model basically with no clothes on. And luckily my girlfriend is very chill. I mean, clearly she's still with me after I do everything that I do. So she gets it and supports me. And that kind of ties into like the fit check world, which is slightly different from a Get Ready With Me. For those of you listening, I mean, don't invest too much time into this, but there is a difference between a fit check and a Get Ready With Me. Get Ready With Me is it's usually makeup, skincare, kind of up close, you know, in the industry, we would say ECU, extreme close up. And again, that's sarcasm for those of you, because I'm not in the industry. I film like in my bedroom. But so it's the makeup stuff. And then fit checks are like outfit checks, not like a fitness check or anything like that.
The whole pookie.
You know, like I got my Kelly. I'm wearing like a super cute vintage skirt from my mom. I got this new, like, you know, whatever. You get the point. But and fit checks start basically with no clothes on, which is like kind of wild. But yeah.
Yeah. I know. It's so funny. It's so funny that it's become like the biggest trend. I'm like, oh my gosh. Okay. So, all right. Well, you know what? I didn't ask you with the Get Ready With Me is, you know, you put so many different products on your face, from chocolate sauce to yogurt to mayonnaise.
Yes.
And I'm wondering what's your favorite skincare product out of yogurt, chocolate sauce, and mayonnaise?
Well, I will say this. My favorite skincare product out of the batch to use for these is probably... I'll give you like a real answer and a funny answer. The real answer would be the Greek yogurt, like the Faji. I pronounce it Faji. I don't know how it's actually pronounced, but the Faji yogurt, because
I think it's Phage, but I could be wrong. Phage. But I heard
whatever
you,
it is. But, like
but
Greek
I could
yogurt.
Be wrong. When you say Faji, that made it even better in the video. Because I was like, Faji, I don't think that's how you say
Faji, the Faji Foundation. But I putting that on my face is actually out of everything I've used. It's very, you know, it's cool, it's cold, and it like, it kind of feels nice. And like, I've gotten people commenting and messaging me saying that yogurt masks, I guess, like are a real thing, which
it's
I didn't know.
But it doesn't make sense when your hand's dipping in the Greek yogurt face. That's what makes it the best.
But from a sensitivity standpoint and like a, you know, feeling, the yogurt actually feels nice. I really like, Walker likes using that.
Yeah.
The character, what's my favorite? I love probably two things. I love my jelly jam blush. So like any kind of jelly or jam, just like some blush we'll put on. Just like we'll usually use like a clementine or something, some kind of small cylindrical fruit to like dab it on. That's really great. I'm always glowing with it with any kind of jelly. Except for grape. Grape doesn't go well with my skin, but strawberry preserves are my favorite. And then I would say lastly, probably my Duracell lip balm. I use a AAA. I'm not a AA gal. I'm a AAA gal. AAA Duracell battery, throw a little bit of that on the lips, and you're cooking with gas. You're ready to go. So those are my two favorites: jelly blush and Duracell lip gloss.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, everyone, you have to definitely go on over to WalkSauce 42 on Instagram.
People are like, what the hell is going on?
So you know what we're talking about, because I mean, but I know everyone listening today is a big fan. So, but yeah, those are all so funny. So you live in New York.
Yes.
I've seen some impressions of your different residents in NYC. When I lived in New York, when I moved to New York, I was, I'm a professional singer, so I was going off to do Broadway and all the things.
Cool.
I landed, this is what makes me laugh, I landed on the Upper East Side. I really had no business being there because I was a, you know, starving artist. But we were looking all around trying to get me to be down in Greenwich Village or near NYU and students. And at the time, it was just I'm sure it's still difficult to find an apartment, but this is where we landed. Now, I knew it was old money where I lived. But once I started working, you know, singing, but also working at a diner as you do, and just being a part of the neighborhood, was I like, okay, where have I landed? You know, you know, like 12-year-olds would come in, you know, dressed to the nines from private school and never tip the waitress from New Jersey trying to make it. Ugh. And yeah, that was a
little
great
chance.
Yes, yes. Or the ladies that would come in who weren't working, but also had a nanny. I had never seen that before, right? Because you're 18 years old. You're like, is that a thing? Okay.
Yep.
That looks amazing. And they didn't ever look like they had a baby, or the women that would come in from the plastic surgeon along the way. So many good characters for you. Where are you, or I guess you don't have to tell us exactly where you're living in New York, but what's your favorite neighborhood and where, you know, and who do you like to emulate there in a character?
For sure. I've had the same apartment that I've had since that apartment that I got in February of 2019. So I live there with a roommate of mine obviously he's my roommate. I live there. He was my roommate in college, which is why I said that.
Oh, cool.
And we live right below Washington Square Park. So we're right there in the NYU campus area. So that's a really fun spot.
I
love it there. There's just, I mean, obviously New York, there's great people watching anywhere, but
anywhere.
You get down at Washington Square Park, you just kind of, and I guess really you could, this applies anywhere in the city for the most part, but like you just get such a diverse package of foot traffic. Like you have the students, you have the sort of old school kind of local Greenwich Village people who are kind of like cool, artsy.
Yeah.
You have younger professionals, because like the West Village vibe is starting to, you know, the West Village is growing in popularity. So it's starting to kind of expand and slide into Greenwich. There's so many good restaurants, whatever. So I really love living there. My girlfriend lives in West Village, which is mainly where I live. And
does mom know?
Mom knows. Her mom, I don't know. But no, moms know. And I subletted my apartment, the Greenwich Village one, to one of my other buddies late last fall because he needed a place to live. I didn't have a job. You know, I was doing the content stuff full time, so it just kind of worked out. So I'm not in that place much anymore at the moment. So I'm kind of splitting time between my girlfriend's spot and then my parents' place here in New Jersey.
Yeah.
The characters. So, I mean, I just, and I don't mean this in a cheesy way, and I think anyone who does any sort of art form or whatever would agree with this. Like, there's just so much, I can't believe I'm saying this seriously, but like there is just so much kind of inspiration in New York, kind of anywhere, really. There's just so much going on.
There really is.
That it will spark just ideas in my mind. So like I will, you know, anywhere that I go, things I observe, the videos, I remember I started doing these like breakfast orders around New York videos last fall.
Yeah.
And like sort of stereotypical breakfast orders around New York. And I would be like a different person in a different neighborhood or a different borough, depending on the video.
Yeah.
I walked into a bodega one morning before I started doing these. And I saw this guy who was like a very, very, just stereotypical kind of like old school New Yorker guy, like ordering just a roll with butter, just like a roll toasted with butter.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, like that's a moment that like only some people would get. But then like, there are just so many, there's such a drastic scale of different types of people in New York, which obviously means different people will relate to different parts of it. And so these videos where I kind of pretend to be different stereotypes in different areas have been popular because there's something in there that most people can relate to at least a little bit. Like some people can relate to, and I have learned a lot by doing it. Like the first one that I did, you know, it's sort of like slippery slope might be too strong of a term, but like, you know, I'm not from the Bronx, for example. I don't know the Bronx like I know Manhattan or like West Village or Greenwich Village or Chelsea or whatever.
Yeah.
So I did my first video and it was still pretty good. Like it was still objectively just like good, but it wasn't what makes the videos great. And like some of the Chad videos and like the Palm Beach Dad videos, whenever it's like, the sort of minutiae that like I'll dive into and the specificity.
Yeah.
That is like, okay, this guy for whatever reason really knows what he's talking about. But so like I did the first New York video and like there were people who were from the Bronx who were like, cause like other accounts pick it up, like New Yorkers, Secret NYC, like accounts with millions of followers who will then share it. And that's when lots of eyeballs will fall upon the video and then the real criticism comes in. And so then I learned like, okay, if I'm from the Bronx and I'm ordering breakfast, you basically order so fast that nobody can understand what you're saying except for, you know, let me get a bacon and cheese, salt, pepper, ketchup on a roll. Let me get a bacon, egg and cheese, salt, pepper, ketchup on a roll. Like, so anyway, I've learned as I've gone, which has been really fun. And like, again, tying it back to one of our, I'm calling it a lesson, but like whatever that we talked about of kind of just doing it, I very easily could have just been like, well, you know, I don't want to offend anyone. I don't really know, but like, I was kind of like, screw it. I just did it. And I learned from it. And like people commented and like, some people were like giving me shit, but some people were also just like, this guy is funny, but he just doesn't really, it would give me pointers. So
yeah. Cause there's so many different dialects.
Yeah, totally.
And accents within the boroughs and everything. And
totally.
I mean, that's a good lesson. What you're saying is like, you know, just try it out, put it out there, see how it goes, see what people think about it.
I'm very confident in what I'm doing. And I know that I'm not, you know, there's a fine line between like mimicking and making fun of and like truly like roasting or like being insulting or that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I know that I'm not doing the latter.
Yeah. Well, like, you're not mean-spirited. You literally are commentating on stereotypes that exist because stereotypes exist.
And it's been nice. It's been nice to, one of the things that people will say to me is like, of content creators that they follow.
Yeah.
I by far, and I'm just repeating this, I'm not necessarily saying this, but like have one of the friendliest and funniest comment sections compared to like other things. Like there are a lot of people who make content and the comment sections are just like a war zone. It's like,
of course. Yeah.
But my comment sections are really funny. Like I'm really lucky to have people react to my stuff the way they do. So I'm very fortunate for that.
Yeah. Well, you're putting out such great content. I mean, besides being so funny, like I said, it's not mean-spirited. It's infectious and funny, and it, you know, everyone's spreading it around. Like I said, I've had so many from friends to followers and listeners and everyone in between send me your things all the time. And I'm
Let's
like, he's coming to the podcast. So
thank you everybody.
Yeah. So like I said, I grew up in the North, but I've actually lived down South. I'm here in Atlanta longer now than I lived up North. My kids call me a no-so, a Northern Southerner.
Nice.
Because they're like, well, you know, you say y'all at this point, mom, and you know, and
yeah, exactly.
And you're pretty, you're pretty chill and all those things. But then they're like, you get in the car or you got to get somewhere. And it's like, you're on a New York minute again. Like, come on, people. I don't have time for this. And I was going to say, when I'm watching your characters, I was like, oh, he needs a little bit. Well, you're spending time in Florida, but Florida's its own beast. Uh-huh. So I was like, he needs to spend a little time in maybe Tennessee, Georgia, those areas. Mm-hmm. I feel like I said to my husband, I had a feeling, you know, you all these life experiences have brought these characters out of you. And my husband is a hunter. And I was like, okay. Walker needs to experience your hunting camp down. Yeah. We call it hunting camp. Down in South Georgia, which is a piece of land that like Miss Betty Mayflower owns. And we all rent a piece of it. And there's like everyone has some sort of makeshift something. My husband, though, has like a big old saying that you could use that.
Big old.
But a big old we have a big old camper. It's like so crazy. So they're all like, he's living on high cotton, you know.
I love that. Yes.
But yeah, I was like, there's a hunter there in Walker. God. I think he just needs to be around some Southerners. And
I agree. Well, it's funny. My girlfriend, who I met almost 3 years ago, she is from Texas, from Houston, Texas. And,
which is its own state.
Yes. And I know
Texas does not claim Tennessee, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia.
Indeed.
And they don't want to go to Florida.
No, they don't. No, they're very proud. Trust me, I have learned by doing, trial by fire, whatever you want to call it.
If you get married someday, just do what she says. Okay.
I know. We're on the same page there. But I've definitely been exposed to, you know, a little bit of like, definitely like the hunting world and like that kind of thing. And then the guy who I was saying, who I became friends with at work, who I would stay with on the weekends in the city. He's from Atlanta, and his family, he went to Georgia. They're like a big Georgia family. I never visited, but I do need, I haven't had much. All I'm saying is I have some exposure.
Yeah.
A little bit to A, Texas, B, the South. I'm not putting them in the same category.
Of course.
But I definitely need to spend some time because like there are obviously some great.
Yeah. Well, then there's the High Southern Society, you know, going to Savannah and like all of that as well. And then there's a good old redneck.
Yeah, exactly. Again, you have the wide range, just like
you
in
have
New York.
A wide range of people. And just even in the county we live in, there's like, it's just funny, the different counties. I think Georgia is like the state, I guess not quote me on this, but I think they have the most counties out of all the different states. And I swear you go to different places. We're right outside of the city. They call it OTP, like outside the perimeter. And that would be a whole other thing OTP. For you. And then there's ITP, inside the perimeter. So
nice. Like
people would definitely never come out OTP years ago. Now they're starting to. But
yeah, like, that's great.
So there's a whole other set for you and your girlfriend to take a vacation to Atlanta.
Yes. No, that's I mean,
and you see the Masters.
Exactly. Go to Augusta, but exactly the OTP, the ITP, like those are like the little things that are fun that like you need to know when you're doing some of these characters so that people find them funny because they're like legit, you know, anyone could like flip on a camera and just kind of be objectively funny, but it's when you know some of the little bits like that the little nuggets that make the person kind of come to life a little more.
Yeah. I remember when I first moved down here, it was a long, long time ago, like 24 years ago. I moved down here. This is a long time ago, but I had moved from New York City. So at first I was just a little like shell shocked because I wasn't right in the city again. And I was like, nothing's like New York. Like, and I was moving way too quick, way too fast. Like I walked into a Subway sandwich place, you know, and I was like, I want, you know, this, blah, 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 real fast. And my husband was like, slow down, and the guy behind the counter was like, I'm sorry, ma'am. I just asked what kind of bread, just what kind of bread.
We're still on the bread. We're
and I was bread, like, okay. And then like nobody honks their horn here. That's like a whole nother, you know, cultural Southern thing. No one will honk their horn. I mean, it'll be like 1, 2, 3, 4. And then you're like, oh crap, I need to go. Thank you for not honking. Like,
yeah, exactly.
So, but the traffic is crazy. The traffic is like LA and people do drive like NASCAR. So then there's that. So it's like crazy dichotomy. So yeah, lots of stuff for you to explore in Atlanta.
Yes. Good. I'm excited.
All right. So with all of the content creating, And do you have an agent? Is that something you're looking for? What are you looking at? What are your aspirations with everything that you're doing?
Yeah. So I have a manager who manages my any kind of brand deal, negotiations, working with people. So there's all kinds of stuff like that. He manages all of that, mm-hmm. Which is very helpful because it'll just allows me to focus on the creative stuff and I don't have to get involved in the organization as much on that side. And then as far as an agent, I guess for people listening, I mean, the main difference between like a manager and an agent is like your manager is kind of managing day-to-day business stuff.
Yeah.
Deals with companies, brand deals, et cetera, how much they're going to pay you, that sort of thing. And then agents are more actively looking for roles for you typically in like film, television, live theater, et cetera.
Is that something you're interested in? I mean, it sounds like
sure. Yes. Mm-hmm. 100%. That's definitely something I'm interested in as far as aspirations. Like my goal with this is I want to end up in film and television. I want to be like, you know, a Cam in Modern Family or like a Lip in Shameless or something.
I see it. Like definitely. That.
Yeah. Would be awesome.
Also noted, which you might know, but Atlanta is a huge movie scene.
Yes.
Now. Not 24 years ago when I came here, but I was doing a ton of music. So it really didn't matter. But now it's over the top.
They film a lot of Stranger Things there. I mean, other stuff too, but I know that Stranger Things is one of the projects they filmed there. But anyway, even 10 years ago, and I know, obviously, Akira, you have your singing and you were living in New York and working at the diner and that kind of thing. That used to be sort of the way you make it or you do it.
Like, in New York or you were in California. Now you can be anywhere.
Right. And you're a bartender or you're a waiter or, you know, that kind of thing. And then you're going on auditions. But in today's world, you know, technology is a blessing and a curse. But one of the blessings of it is, you know, you can build out a portfolio for yourself.
Yep.
Like I'm sort of doing with all these different characters. And just the exposure is astronomically higher than if I were working in a bar in Princeton, New Jersey or in New York.
Most definitely. Yeah. I was just explaining that to my kids the other day that I was like, it used to be like, am I going to New York to do Broadway and theater and all of that?
Yeah.
And then in the midst of you doing that, you know, you're like, okay, I need to make money for my rent. So we're going to do what everybody does, bartender, waitress. Yeah. And then from there, at some point in time, everyone's like, do we move to California for
pop? And then you got to just hope to. Yeah. I mean, I went to the New York.
And that's what it was like. Yeah.
I did a full summer at the New York Film Academy. My summer into my junior year of college, doing an acting for film program thing. And one of my professors, you know, he said, you know, some of the best actors that I know are still waiting tables in Midtown just because they haven't, you know, gotten the break. The exposure isn't there. And it's not because they're not, quote, good enough. It's just because the right people haven't found them or vice versa. And this is just, you know, these platforms like Instagram and TikTok, that's just a really good way to get more exposure. So that's what I'm working on.
Absolutely fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. And I have the manager.
You'd be great at voiceover too.
Thank you. We have some voiceover stuff that's sort of in the works. We're seeing if it's going to pan out, but we might be doing some voice acting on some projects soon as well.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is. I mean, it's like you can put yourself, you can be, there is no, I think no matter what part in time. So I was mid 90s. So you were probably just born in 90.
I was 94.
94. Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I was leaving high school in 94.
Yeah.
And then moving to New York in 95. And so, yeah, so you are so correct. It's what's really great is, and I actually say this all the time on the podcast to everyone is to, even if we didn't have all the social media at that time, you know, and at times in my career, as it expounded and went on, of course, now I do have social media and the different things that I had done and stuff, but I was still, you know, I just feel like you make the thing, I guess my point is you make the things happen for yourself. Don't wait around to be discovered. And in what you were saying is it's so fantastic that you can kind of have your video resume happening all the time.
Totally.
Which at a point and a click, any of us anywhere in the world can find you.
For sure. 100%. I mean, I have people who follow me. One of my most loyal followers who engages with my stuff and loves my stuff is, well, I'm assuming he loves my stuff because he likes it, is Chris Pratt. Like Chris Pratt, who's yes. obviously an actor and whatever. He found my, one of my Palm Beach Dad videos, I think. And that was when he started following me. Cause I can see like when people follow based on what videos and like, but like, that's cool. You know, who knows? Likely nothing will come of that, but like there may be a time where like Chris Pratt is sitting in a casting studio with a project he's working on and someone's like, we need a young 30s kind of funny curly haired guy
yeah.
who can, you know, do whatever. And he's like, wait, I follow this guy on Instagram. Here's his page.
Yes,
like,
yes.
That sort of thing. That would never happen if I was just, you know. So anyway, I'm very lucky to have this tool. To help me with all my stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it's just about putting yourself out there. That's, you know, opportunity meets, what is it? I say it every time. And then I'm like,
opportunity meets hard work. Hard work meets opportunity. There's something, it was
something like that.
There's
meets preparation. Preparation yes, meets yes. opportunity.
Yes.
Something like that. But yeah, it is putting yourself out there all the time. You know, when like, and you know, just a teaching moment for all my listeners for sure is that if you yeah. are, if there's something that you want to do, you know, create your own dream, go after and, the thing that you want.
Yeah. Just go for it. I mean, I remember there were so many times when I was sitting at work in my finance job. And like, I was just like, God, it's hard to make something happen if you don't fully go for it. If you just kind of put your toe in mm-hmm. and you do a couple things, but you're also doing something else because it's yeah. kind of safe. You really have to put yourself out there. And obviously it's all relative. Like there are people who, you know, you have to have some sort of source of income. You have to have yeah. a job, but it's like, you know, you can work your job and then
alongside your dream.
Exactly. And then when you can get to there will come a point when you've put enough work into your dream
yeah.
while simultaneously having your job support you and support that dream where, okay, it's still scary, but like now it makes sense. I can really do it. Eventually yeah. you have to jump. But like I was saying earlier, don't just jump without the parachute or like whatever yeah. analogy I was saying.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
definitely go for it.
Yeah. And wouldn't you say, again, I say this on the podcast all the time, is that it's, you know, you can only have your ducks in a row so far before you do not know till you go. You have to just start yeah. putting your forward. It will work. It actually 100%. Evolves. It cannot evolve unless you're walking forward.
100%.
Walker, I mean, that's walker forward.
That's yeah, exactly.
The walker forward movement.
The walker forward movement. Let's go.
Yes.
yeah, you can't. What am I trying to say? I'm basically trying to say, like you're saying, Kira. I mean,
how about this? Ordain yourself in your dreams.
Yeah.
Like, who are you yeah. waiting for? Like, who's going to come? Nobody knows all the creativity in your brain.
Yeah, only you do.
How far you can see yourself go.
Yeah. And you build and you learn as you go. You know, you're a snowball basically going down a mountain and you're starting small. And if you don't just start rolling, the growth, it's not going to come. And then by the time you get to the base of the mountain, you're going to be this massive yeah. you know, success, but you can't accumulate the success without, you know, pushing forward. So
yeah,
my analogies today.
We're both like, what? I don't.
Yeah, anyway, exactly.
Just go after your dreams and have
yeah,
some fun.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Was put
I cream
say?
Cheese oh, on your face.
Yes. Did you say put cream on your face?
Put cream cheese on your face, throw food on your face, and everything will be fine.
I thought you said put cream on your face, which made me laugh. We were a million years ago, my family and I were on Family Feud, and they were like, and what's something you put on your face before you go to bed? And my mom was like, put cream on your face. But she like yelled it with like such great enthusiasm.
Yeah.
We still all little laugh about it.
That's awesome.
But we're like, she lost all that money with that, you know, so that was awesome.
With the outburst.
Put cream on your face. Yes. So do you have a favorite quote or mantra or something that you say to yourself just to keep yourself positive walking through the walker forward dream of life?
Yeah, I guess when I was my summer going into my freshman year of college, a lot of summer memories. Summer going into my freshman year of college, I was on a backpacking trip in the Alps and the Pyrenees, which was really cool, over in Europe. And it was cool, but I got sick. I got very sick, and we couldn't really figure out what was wrong with me. And one day I would feel fine, and the next day I'd feel like total shit.
You had COVID before everyone had COVID.
Yeah, exactly. And it turned out we didn't know in the moment I had Lyme disease. I found out like a month later when I came back to the U.S. and I ended up going to the hospital and getting tested. But in the moment when I was like out there in the middle of nowhere, my guide, I still have it in my wallet, wrote down the poem by Invictus by William Ernest Henley. And the final stanza, the last two lines read, you know, I'm the master of my fate. I'm the captain of my soul. And like in that moment, you know, Ethan Hawke said something really interesting in an interview one time where he basically said people don't really acknowledge or need or care about poetry or literature, but especially poetry, until you're going through something really intense that then everything kind of makes sense and then you really need it. And I'm, you know, I was an English major, like I said, and I think words are very powerful. And so anyway, I'm the master of my fate. I'm the captain of my soul. Even though it was a little bit dramatic, because the author of that poem was dying of polio when he wrote it, carved it into a bunk bed ahead of, above him. But like, I had Lyme disease. I was super sick. It really did kind of give me a little extra oomph to kind of get through what I had to get through. And I did.
That's amazing.
And I keep that. I keep that with me. And the other one I'll say is probably the Maya Angelou, just the people will forget what you said, they'll forget what you did, but they'll never forget how you made them feel. Again, a very popular one, but like
my favorite, actually.
I just, you know, people, we're all, you know, we're a species that needs to relate to each other. That's why we have the five senses that we have, to relate to our surroundings and each other. And, you know, you don't have to just be a saint every day and like buy everybody coffee and like, you know, be that, act that way, but just being grounded in who you are and, you know, listening and being available for other people is really important. And that's how people feel heard and seen, is when you listen to them. So I'm just those are probably the two big ones for me.
I love that. And that is so true. So true. Thinking about how you're leaving someone and leaving them maybe even better off than how you found them.
And you don't know what they're going through necessarily. And there have been so many times when I've interacted with people like at a smoothie place or whatever, the person working there who seems very cranky. But if you just kind of like, you kind of chip away at them with your kindness, not all the time, but usually you bring, they're having a tough day for whatever reason. So they might be assuming that you're just kind of another impatient customer who just give me my smoothie and go.
But if
you can kind of show them that, you know, there's more to my day today than just getting this smoothie, like, hey, how are you doing? What's your name?
Yeah.
That goes a really long way. And it's little things, but it's little things like that that add up to making a difference in your life and other people's lives and in the world. So, yeah.
Yeah. I love it. Well, before I let you go, couple more questions. Okay, random question. What's your favorite flavor of ice cream?
Ooh, probably cookies and cream. And then on Nantucket, Chad asked, there's an ice cream place called the Juice Bar.
Okay.
And they have a flavor called Green Monster, which is mint chocolate chip with cookie dough in it.
Ooh.
So that's Green Monster and then cookies and cream.
I love that. What do you think the Get Ready With Me girl, would she eat ice cream?
For sure. I mean, the pregnant one won't stop eating ice cream. She's eating ice cream every day, any kind.
What's her favorite, you think?
Her favorite is probably definitely something butterscotch, like caramel related. Ooh. She just like a vanilla with caramel swirls like in it. I feel like she's really into. She goes through phases with chocolate, but right now she just wants the smooth and creamy.
Just the smooth and creamy. All right. Tell us something about you that people might not know.
I mean, people might not know. When I was in second grade, I choked on a graham cracker in my second grade class, which like sparked a few years of like pretty intense childlike anxiety
about eating, chewing.
About eating, chewing. I lost my like sense of confidence in like my chewing. So I was like afraid to swallow. So like that was the whole thing. I had to go to doctors and like child therapy in New York. But doing that really helped me learn at a young age how to deal with like anxiety.
Yeah.
So having gone through that then really has helped me in today's world because, you know, I'll get anxious about things sometimes. I don't like flying, whatever. I'll do it all the time, but areas where I don't have control, and I'm much more better equipped to cope with those moments because of what I went through when I was like, seven, eight, nine. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that is so wild. That's so crazy that happened. But yeah, you're right. You learned. I mean, you have a very strong emotional toolbox from the time you were seven.
For sure. Yeah. Well said. Emotional toolbox. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. All right. Well, I like to think of rainbows, of course, as blessings. You know, the bigger, small, and everyday. So, what rainbows do you usually count on an ordinary day? What's something? Maybe something this morning. Besides me and this podcast and the rainbow.
Yeah. I mean, I'm very fortunate. You know, family's very important to me, of course. And I'm so fortunate. The world is kind of a crazy place right now, obviously. And then especially post-COVID with people working remotely and that kind of thing. Like, I'm 30 years old in my childhood bedroom working.
Yeah.
Making a living, kind of going for it, but like walking downstairs into my kitchen and both my parents are in there.
I love it.
My mom's getting ready for work. My dad's making some breakfast. And like, it's a very minor moment, but like,
it's great.
That didn't, I don't think really used to happen to people before, you know, like the COVID world kind of flipped things upside down. And like,
yeah.
So I'm very thankful. You know, that I have both my parents, you know, my younger brother still lives at home as well. And just being able to interact with them this morning, going down the stairs and making breakfast, that was definitely a rainbow for sure.
Aw, I love that. I love that you noticed that. And I mean, on so many levels, I totally get it on your level, but then also being a mom. When my son comes home, I see it on a secondary level. So, yes, because I always tell that to my son. I'm like, we're actually in the middle of a house renovation. And anytime he's come home, I'm like, what do you think about, you know, this, or we're doing this and this. And he was like, well, you know, mom, like I'm at school. And I was like, yeah, but this will always be your home. Like you can come here anytime. I want it to be comfortable for you too. And he was like, okay. I'm like, do you, that's why I'm asking if you like this sofa. And like, you know, you can't come home and be like, my childhood sofa's gone. Oh, but this is comfortable. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, okay. This works.
So I love that that's your rainbow. That's amazing. Very cool. Sure. Very cool. All right. So where can listeners connect with you? And do you have merch? Is there any merch out there?
Yeah. So I do not have merch yet. We're starting to cook up merch. We're starting to play around with, but it's not available yet.
Okay.
I will let you know, Kira, when it is available. I'll message you and then we can let the listeners know as well. And I'll
be
posting about it. What was the other question?
Oh, where can listeners connect with you?
Oh, yes, listeners, you guys can connect with me. Thank you for listening, by the way. and you can connect with me on Instagram. My page is walksauce42. That's probably the best place. TikTok's a little bit more of like a deep, dark hole of just like random scrolling. Instagram's really where I'll filter DMs and chat with people and that kind of thing.
Okay. So, and where Instagram, did the name come from? Walksauce 42.
My freshman year, I was at a party, and this girl who I was good friends with, her name was Maggie, who I haven't seen in a long time, but she was just a really good egg. She one night at this party just was like, yo, Walksauce, like, what's up? She's called me Walksauce out of the blue. And I was like, oh, that's like kind of funny. And I didn't even have Instagram yet. I didn't get Instagram for another year or so. And when I was looking for a name for my Instagram, I'm like, what would be good? Like, you know, my AIM, like my screen name growing up was Moonwalks73.
Yeah.
But I think that was taken. And so I was like, oh, Maggie calling me walk sauce, that kind of stuck. Let's go with walk sauce. And 42 was my hockey number.
Oh, very cool. Yeah.
So 42 like, is my number.
What's the name? I noticed that right away. You know, at this point, because you're selling us so much funny that, you know, the merch, I know it's going to come out. It's going to be amazing. If you wanted to sell a barbecue sauce called walk sauce, we'd be all over it.
Yes, that's a great idea. And I've actually spoken to my manager about this. We have my sort of future, for lack of a better term, kind of bundled up into three different phases. And right now it's kind of the growth phase.
Right.
Exposure.
The creative.
People, creative. Exactly. So once we get to like the product phase of it, monetizing that kind of thing, you know, that'll be cool. But like, I really want to just kind of enjoy the journey. Because eventually I think if I do keep going on the path that I'm going, it will become a bigger entity and I'll have more stuff going on and it won't just be the fun, creative videos and stuff. It'll be fun, obviously.
I love that you see that.
I'm just sort of enjoying
living alongside the dream.
Oh my God, for sure. But one of the ideas here, a phenomenal idea, is the idea of a sauce, like a wok sauce, a barbecue sauce. Even you can even make it a drink, like any kind of, we will stay in touch. A rainbow walk sauce.
Yes. No matter how big you got, you always have an invitation here.
Let's go. Thank you.
And I have your info. So
yeah. Yeah.
Don't change your
perfect
number.
I won't, Kira. Don't worry. I'm staying
I'm
even keel. I'm not
saying I live near Princeton. I used to.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, no, I do. I think that would be so, so cool. We're a huge barbecue. Well, my husband loves to barbecue. We have a giant, what we call it, the train.
Smoker?
Yeah. Oh. Yes, it's a smoker. Exactly. We just call it the train because it's so huge.
The train.
Yeah. And honestly, I always say that, like, if he wasn't doing the job that he was doing, that, like, this will be another dream at some point.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
We love having big barbecues. I'm always like the sides girl. And then he makes this like incredible meat. We call it meat fest when people come over.
That's
epic. I was like, wok sauce. And he was like, what's wok sauce? And I was, is that like, is that a new sauce? And I was like, oh, we have to tell Walker.
Should be. It should be.
Yeah.
That's awesome, Kira. Thank
you.
You
already
so much.
Have parents, but we'll be like the fairy godparents over here throwing more info at you.
Please. Please do. I love that.
We were like, we'll host you and your girlfriend so you can learn more about Southern culture and you'll have a whole nother arsenal of characters.
Sign me up.
By the time
you up.
So Walker, how would maybe can I put you on the spot and say, how would Chad say goodbye to the rainbow today?
Ooh, Chad would say goodbye to the rainbow. He would be in the middle of a conversation and then he would get a phone call and he'd be like, yeah, mom, what's up? I'm on a podcast. What do you mean Consuelo's not coming over tonight? Who's going to make my quesadilla? Mom. Sorry, you guys, I got to go. I got to talk to my mom. I got to figure out who's going to make my quesadilla tonight. Something like that.
That's amazing. I love it. All right, what
phone
about...
Call. And he would be like, yo, you guys, what's up, you guys? It's Chad. Thank you so much for tuning into the podcast today. I actually just flew back from Palm Beach. Winter season was absolutely electric, but now we got our eyes are on the horizon line for summer. We're going to be on Nantucket. It's going to be elite. We're going to be at the club. We're going to be at the juice bar. We're going to be sailing. Stay tuned for some epic content. Love you all.
That is amazing. That's like right up there with Palm Beach Dad. And I love when Nantucket, is it not Nantucket Guy, when he talks about the private plane.
Yes. Nantucket Dad.
Nantucket Dad.
Like when the plane runs out of jet, when the airport runs out of jet fuel.
Yeah. And the fact that he knows what the plane, like, you know, my F-17, da da da.
Yeah,
I saw you park someone else in front of me.
Exactly. Yeah, that happened. That was a true story, by the way. I was not there, but the private jet fuel on the Nantucket airport is a separate commodity to the commercial jet fuel.
Yeah.
So all of the private jet fuel had been used. So commercial flights were able to come and go and be refueled, but they had to bring private jet fuel from the mainland on the ferry. And it was going to take like 2 days. So all the people with private planes couldn't fill up their planes to leave. And they were like freaking out. So that was the impetus for that video.
Isn't it funny, no matter what, like at whatever level you are in life, the things that suddenly become so important. And
100%.
Entitlement is one of the most wonderful things to watch.
Yeah.
Spiral.
Same page. Yeah.
All right. All right. Well, Walker, thank you so much. You really are such a joy. Like, you're such a bright light. You are the funniest guy on the internet. Keep in touch. You can come on here anytime. And then, like, of course, let us know all about merch and upcoming projects. And, you know, next time you're down south and you're doing a movie, because we see that.
I'm giving you guys a call.
Yeah, Stranger Things. Hello, are you listening? Are you listening?
Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, Kira. Thank you for having me. Thank you all so much.
Oh, my goodness, my friends. Is he not the best, funniest man on Instagram? Y'all, you have to go check him out. WalkSauce42 on Instagram. The Get Ready With Me's are going to have you just falling on the floor, cracking up. Go meet Chad, Palm Beach Dad, Nantucket Dad, and all the gang, all the New York characters and everything in between. You don't want to miss out on the funny that's happening at WalkSauce 42. Walker, thank you so much for being a part of the rainbow. You truly are a bright light to this world. Keep shining on, friend. Remember, the rainbow as well, they're all around you. You just have to open up your heart to see them. I'll see you next time. Well, my friends, that's my podcast. I hope I gave you a little light in your heart, a little song in your soul, and a whole lot of love, because you are amazing. I'll see you next time on Finding Rainbows on an Ordinary Day. Meet me on my Instagram page at Finding Rainbows the Podcast, where you'll find more inspiration to feed your soul. And while you're there, join my Rainbow Connection. It's an insider's club where you'll receive inspirational quotes to your inbox each week from me, and VIP opportunities, giveaways, I love a freebie, live webinars, and so much more. Remember, you are a light to this world. Shine bright, my friends. I'll see you next time on Finding Rainbows. It's a brand new day.